pretty powerful, wasn't it? That's our biggest failure, I think, is not recognizing how God sees us. And we can't do that until He changes our heart. And we'll talk about that this morning, changing our heart. Thank you, Aldi and Marjorie, beautiful playing on that. That was just beautiful. All right, for all of our kids that are kindergarten or younger, you can be dismissed. For our older ones, we'd ask you to stay out here for service. Change My Heart's the title today. Change My Heart. Yes, sir. I love when the Lord moves like that. That's awesome. Wow. I didn't know if Larry was coming to attack me. I wasn't sure. I was getting a little scared. I was like, where's my Packers at? Not that kind of Packer. These kind of Packers. Oh, that's very good, Larry. Well, you know what Larry said goes along with the message this morning about changing our heart. And Larry is very right. Are you going to say something too? Okay. I'm like, man, I like this. It's all right. I'll just take the day off. That's awesome. It's like Larry said, let's use the mic. This mic didn't just create itself. This has minute, many, probably thousands, if not at least hundreds, of minute parts in this microphone between this and the box that connects it. This mic didn't just form. There was a designer behind this mic. A designer behind the chair you're sitting in, a designer of the chandeliers above your head, a designer for the walls around you. They didn't just pop up. Everything's designed by a designer. And so until our hearts are changed, it's hard sometimes to comprehend that. And I appreciate Larry's honesty and his bluntness. You know, it is hard sometimes to think, you know what, I can't see God, but boy, I sure can see all He's done. I can see all of His work. All of His creation. That little baby back there Chris is holding. I mean, here's this big old ex-cop, ex-marine tough guy. That's probably a big old baby with that little baby. Tell me there ain't no God. That God can soften that heart to hold that little baby. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. So let's get in some scripture this morning. We'll see where God takes this. Yeah. Yes. You're exactly right. Yep. I love what Larry said too, because you don't believe doesn't make it not true. I mean, you know, like Larry said, y'all can say all day long, Pastor didn't preach no microphone this morning. He didn't have no mic in his hand. Yeah, I did. No, he didn't. Well, you might not believe that, but don't believe it. It ain't true. I had a mic in my hand. Psalms 51. We're going to read 10 scriptures here. And then I'm going to get into Mark. And this is where David was crying out to God after his sin with Bathsheba. Now, we are going to talk about some sin today. Virgil's long past. Virgil Short's long off the earth. So this won't affect him no more. But is it okay if we talk about sin a little bit this morning, just about what sin is? Is that okay with y'all? It's not going to be a condemnation message, but we need to understand why our heart needs to be changed. Here's David, and he's crying out to God. He had messed up with Bathsheba. He had committed adultery. He had committed murder. He was a deceiver, a liar, a manipulator. He got in a very bad place. And David was a man of God, but he got in a very bad place. And here's what he cries out to God in chapter 51, verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. How much would people's lives change if we just got to that point of saying, you know what, I'm wrong. I'm not going to justify my sin no more. I'm not going to justify why I do this. I'm just going to say, Lord, I'm wrong. And I know I'm wrong. And I want you to forgive me of my sin. We're great about comparing our sins to others, right? Well, I may drink, but I don't do drugs, you know? Well, I may drink, but I don't smoke. I may smoke, I don't drink. Well, I say a cuss word now and then, but I never use the Lord's name in vain. I don't use those kind of cuss words. I just use the more mild cuss words. I don't gamble much. I just gamble a little bit, you know? I don't look at all women, just the good-looking ones. You know, we can justify our sins all we want. We can look in the mirror and say, I'm not that big. Yeah. Tell yourself that. Let's just get real. We can justify things in our lives. And David didn't justify it. He didn't say, Lord, I'm king. And Lord, you gave me all those other women. What's one more? He didn't say, Lord, you know what? You shouldn't have put, here's how we do. Lord, you shouldn't have put her outside in the public, naked, taking a shower. Lord, you shouldn't have made her look so good and so fine and spent so much time on her. Lord, you shouldn't have let me walk out at the moment that she would be out there. But he didn't do any of that. There was no blame with David. He said, Lord, I've sinned. And Lord, I want my transgressions blotted out. I need forgiveness, God, for what I have done. Not anything you have done. What I have done. Against you only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when you speakest and be clear when you judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. This is a key point to this message. We must understand that we were born into sin. We were born into sin. You do not have to teach your children or your teenagers how to act bad. That comes automatically. And that it comes to every kid. I don't care how sweet they are in their 3, how nice they are in their 8. Trust me, it's coming. Melly said last night, she said, we talking, she says, if God would let us look in the future and see our kids as teenagers, that's the best birth control we'd ever have. I was like, man. Whew. I mean, think about that. The best of our kids get sassy, get rebellious, want to break the rules, because we were born with a sin nature. And that's why our hearts have to be changed. It doesn't mean we stop being bad or sinning after we're saved, but it does mean our heart's been changed. And it means no longer is it my desire to do what I want, my desire is to do what He wants. My desire is, God, I want to follow you. I don't want to disappoint. Lord, you're my father, and I want you to be proud of what I'm doing in my life. And God, the price you paid for me, I want to follow you all my days. But our heart must be changed. But we must recognize every heart has to be changed, because every heart is born in sin. Behold, verse 6 says, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. In the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, I shall be clean. Wash me, I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Is your life broken this morning? God can have you rejoice in your brokenness. Anna back there, and I should have announced this when I heard it, and I'm sorry that I didn't. It was kind of just a quick thing, and I just didn't let anybody know. So that's my fault. I acknowledge my failure as your pastor. But don't hold it against me on October 14th, okay? But I acknowledge it. But Anna's sister passed away. Anna Waldrop's sister passed away last week. And she was 101 years old. 101. Born in 1917. And I did go to the funeral. It was up in Elkin. And they had a grave site. She looked beautiful, I thought. I mean, to be 101, I'm like, my, she looked younger than me. 101, I'm like, my goodness. But Anna says something this morning. She came in out of the car, and I said, how you doing this morning? She goes, well, my happiness level is a little bit down, but I've got my joy. See, there's a difference in happiness and joy. If you base your life on just happiness, you're going to be a miserable human being, because happiness is all about what's happening to you, what's happening against you, what's happening around you. But joy is what's happening inside of you. Joy is where your heart has been transformed by the power of the Lord. So you can have joy. So Anna said, my happiness is a little bit down. I'm a little bit sad this morning, but I've got my joy. Because she knows in whom she serves. And Anna knows, though her sister is passed off this earth, Anna knows this, that my Redeemer liveth, and my Redeemer is alive forevermore, and he will never die and never forsake me. So if you're broken this morning, you've been broken by your sin, been broken by your lifestyle, been broken by your past, you're in a broken state because of just life, because seasons change in our lives. We change seasons. We're not always 21. We're not always 45. We're not always 65. Our seasons change. But in those seasons, we can have joy in every season because of the joy of the Lord. The Bible says that is our strength. Goes on in verse 9 to say, hide your face from my sins and blot out mine iniquities. And then verse 10 is my key main verse this morning. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Our heart has to be transformed. This is why people that are Christians, true Christians, they live differently. Heart's been changed. It don't mean we don't have no temptation. Temptation's not a sin. It don't mean that we don't fail sometimes. But it means our heart has been transformed to where it is different. I love my daughter's boyfriend. He's an incredible young man. He's a senior this year, and he's a great young man. I've only had to fire 2 shots at him so far. He's really been good. And the thing I love about Nicholas, call him Nick, but I call him Nicholas, but the thing I like about Nick is his heart. His heart is so tender, and it's so true, and it's so sensitive. Now, he's straight, okay? He is so tender and so sensitive. And I just love his heart. And you know what? His behavior copies his heart. Because what's in a man's heart is what he does. Joe Brown prays for Living Word Ministries every day. He has since he started the church 16 years ago. And prays for me and my family every day. He's made that known every day. He does that because that's what's in his heart to do. He don't have to pray for me every day. He don't have to lift the church up in prayer. But he does it because that's in his heart. When you buy someone lunch, you do it because it's from your heart. When you sow a seed to someone, you do it from your heart. When Melanie kisses me, I hope she does it from her heart. You know, when things are done from your heart, it impacts your life. And here David says, Lord, my heart's not been right. I've let darkness come in my heart. I went after something I knew I shouldn't went after. I've rebelled against your word. I've rebelled against your blessings. I've rebelled against your voice. I've rebelled against all you've called me to do, God. I've rebelled against that, and I don't like that. God, create in me a new heart, a clean heart, and a right spirit. You ever been around somebody before and you just know something's not right with them? And I'm saying they ain't got to look like Larry. I'm talking about somebody that just, you know, looks, you know, that looks normal. Larry knows I love them. I'm not talking about somebody that looks creepy or weird or you know they got a problem because you can tell they got a problem. I'm talking about just a normal person. You're talking to them a little bit, but you feel something. You're feeling their spirit. You're feeling their heart. You know something's not right. You women have what they call that intuition and that some instinct. What's it called? Fifth instinct? Third? Sixth instinct. I can remember the number. Sixth instinct. Sixth sense, that's it, yeah. You got to. Anyway, y'all got something we ain't got, okay? And it's weird how that some of you women will know, you know, by how a guy acts around you, you feel the ibby-jibbies. Man, I was at Walmart the other day, and this guy walked down the aisle. She got away, he gave me, you know, ibby-jibbies. What was he doing? He didn't say anything to me, but I didn't like what I felt, you know. And so you feel that spirit because that's what's in you. Remember Judas Iscariot who betrayed Jesus? Man, he followed Jesus, didn't he? Saw his miracles, was right there with the other 11. He was a pack. He was one of the prime timers. Every Thursday, walking with Jesus, talking with Jesus, you know, seeing what he done. But Judas Iscariot had something different in his heart. He betrayed his Savior for some money. A little bit of gold, a few gold pieces, a few silver pieces, a little dinero. And he gave up. Jesus didn't really give him up. Jesus gave himself up. But he turned against him because in his heart, he was following Jesus. He was watching Jesus. He was hearing Jesus. But it wasn't in his heart. So many times through the church age, we've seen people come to church for 10, 15, 20 years. And I wonder, as a pastor, are they hearing anything? I mean, are they really hearing in here? Yes, we hear here. And that's why we have so much entertainment churches now, because they're trying to appease the flesh of man instead of the heart of man. Church, we don't need flashing lights and smoking guns to talk about Jesus. We need the power of the Holy Ghost to come inside and change our hearts. That's the moving. We can do nothing without the anointing of the Lord. And that anointing is real, and that anointing is alive, and that anointing is not going through just religious motions. That anointing is allowing His Spirit to touch your spirit, which means it has to press through the flesh and touch the inner man. And that's what our desire should be. Turn to Mark with me. I think it's Mark. Read a couple of scriptures here. This is Jesus talking in Mark chapter 7. We're talking about the heart this morning. Change my heart, Lord. I don't like what's in my heart. And you know, we all have issues that are hard to deal with and hard to overcome. But God can help us. Mark 7, verse 21. What Jesus is talking about here is the Pharisees were fussing earlier in this chapter. They were fussing. The disciples wasn't keeping all the laws. They weren't washing their hands before dinner. They weren't washing their cups, their plates, and their saucers. They wasn't going through the ceremonial things. And they were fussing at them. Say, Master, they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. But look what Jesus says in verse 21. This is Him speaking. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed what? Evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. The word defile means to make unclean. So it's from our heart that we are evil. It's from our heart that we are bad. Does any of you stump your toe against something hard and it really hurts, and you hit it and say, oh, amazing grace, hallelujah, Jesus, Lord? No, you're not saying that. You're saying words have to be censored, because that's not what comes out when you hit your toe. When you get in an argument with your spouse, and if you don't argue at all and you're one of those couples, please come talk to me. I'll have y'all arguing in 15 minutes, because it is not normal not to argue as a couple. I'm just saying. They say couples that argue a lot love each other a lot. Me and Melanie, we are absolutely in love, madly in love. We are madly in love. Oh. But when you're arguing with your wife and those things are your husband, and things come out of you, it comes out of anger. It comes because your heart manufactures those thoughts and those evil intents. And you say things to hurt your spouse. Sometimes you say something to your child that hurts your child. You say things out of your spirit, out of your heart, that brings damage, because that's how our heart was created in sin. But we need a heart transplant. Say, Lord, take the evil heart away from me. That those desires of what we just read, the adultery, fornication, lying, stealing, thieving, rebellion, darkness, doubt, all the stuff that goes to the evil heart, God, take that away and put in me a brand new heart that I can see You as how You truly are. Heart means everything. And I know there's some of you in here that battle different things in your lives, but I know your heart with God is right. So this is not a condemnation message. It's truly, as a song D sung, man, that was so moving, the part of, Lord, I lay it down at Your feet. I give You my heart. I give You my soul. Lord, take control. Sometimes we don't let God into all of our heart. We keep part of it out. I'll give you a little bit, God. I just can't quite give you all of it. Because what if I fail you? You're going to fail him. You're not failing, but you're going to fail. He already knows you're going to, you know, not, you're not going to fail him, but you're going to fail. And you're going to make mistakes. And you're going to fall short of the glory, holiness of God. But if we let God change our hearts, you know, if we could have the heart of a child, I bet you right now, Maverick, you believe the Bible is true, right? You believe Jesus really lived, don't you? And you believe he died on the cross, don't you? And you believe he rose from the dead, don't you? What if we had that heart like a child? But something happens when we're about 13, 14. We know it all. I got all the answers because I'm 14. And mom and dad, you can't tell me nothing. And I know it all. Well, where do you get that from? Oh, I got this from this trusted website. Okay. I got it from a friend at school. Yeah. Okay. Let me see what that friend looks like. Yeah. Okay. Take that as good advice. Yeah. We used to have that heart. Remember as a kid, you believed anything? Oh, we believed everything as a kid. Anything my mom and dad told me, I believed. My mom used to tell me, you're just a cute little boy. You're so good looking. You're so sweet. You're my little boy. And today, I still carry that same feeling. So mom did a great job. But I did. I believed what they told me. And I remember stories mom and dad would tell. I remember things they would say and places we went and just little things I learned from my parents that as a kid they told me. And it, you know, I believed it. And it was true. They weren't lying to me. But the point is, sometimes as we get older, we all of a sudden don't start believing because something in our heart takes over to start creating doubt where we used not to have doubt. That's why Jesus says, come to me as the little children come. Allow, you know, if you were like a child, just submissive. See, D is still Maverick's whole world right now. Pretty much. It won't be long, you won't be his whole world. But right now, you're pretty much his whole world. When he has a boo-boo, he comes to mama. Teacher fusses at him, he comes to mama. Gets hurt, he comes to mama. Gets mad at Hudson, he comes to mama. Don't like his green beans, he talks to mama. Mama's everything. Like Waterboy. Mama's everything. But Maverick football's not the devil, okay? Just so you know. Our heart has to be changed. And we have to know that it has to be changed because of what Jesus says. That these desires come from an evil heart. How do I change that? You know, I've prayed for people through the years. I've talked to people through the years. And there's been many I've seen no change in. And, of course, that's frustrating. But I understand that until they surrender wholly, they cannot receive what God has for them. You know, it took a lot for Larry to come up here this morning. I was really impressed with that because Larry does not do that. Larry's a great one-on-one talker. He will get you laughing. He's a great communicator, and he's funny to be around. But he's, I don't think he's ever hopped up in front of church like that before. But you know what? He had something to say from his heart. And he said it. So many folks don't want to hear what's being said. It's why Jesus said in many places, them that hath ears, let them hear. I was always taught this Bible myself, as Larry said. I took to church. I wasn't whooped as much as Larry was, apparently. But I didn't fight going to church. I didn't fight in church. I didn't fight after church. I got my share of spankings, but not church-related normally. I did get hickory switch one time for acting up in church. Mom took me out and got hickory switch down there on Fifth Street. I'll never forget that. I didn't act up no more. But I was raised in church, took to church. My parents prayed every night. We had devotions in our house every night. But you know what? And that's all good. Luckily, God, fortunately, God saved me young. I got saved at 9 years old. But I tell people this. You have to have that experience for yourself. It's not real to you if you don't experience it. Grandma talked the other night about Wednesday night. We had a testifying night Wednesday. You missed it, Larry. We had a testifying night Wednesday night. And we had several that testified. And Grandma said, you know, people don't understand sometimes. If I get a little happy, I might do a little dance or something in the Lord or whatever. And they don't understand it. But I know when God touches me, I got to do, it's me and God. It's all that matters. Whenever we allow God to move, God can move us in different ways. Remember my grandpa, boy, the Holy Ghost get hold of my grandpa, Mindy? He'd be like a bull. He'd be like a raging bull. Oh, my goodness. It scares some of y'all to see him shout. But you know what? He never got hurt. Never put a hole in the wall, I don't think. Never scalped his head. God took care of him. God took care of him in the dance. Oh. Until you experience the truth of God for yourself. But God does give us a lot of proof, doesn't he? The world wasn't just created with a big bang. Well, it was, but it was God saying bang, as I say all the time. God said bang, and it began to form. But we look at the perfect creation of our stars, and God was so cool on this. He made shapes out of the stars. Right? I can't name probably none of them, except for the Big Dipper and Little Dipper. And there's a scorpion, I think, and some other animals. But there's all these animals. It's like a big connect the dot in the sky. Who needs a pad? Go out at night. And you see all of these shapes. You think that was accidental that God made a stars that make the shape of a raccoon? I mean, that's pretty cool. Did you know the depths? Mel brought us up the other day. We were somewhere. We were going by, a river somewhere up in the mountains. And we was going by this big river. And she says, you know, isn't it amazing all these years they just don't dry up? I mean, these big rivers and stuff, they just don't dry up. The oceans just don't dry up. Did you know scientists have proven, for you that need a scientific proof, they have proven that the depths and the sea levels of the earth have not changed since the beginning of recording that information? It's not changed. I wonder why. Oh, I don't know. G-O-D. Give me G-O-D up in the house. G-O-D, let's give him some shout. G-O-D, let's clap our hands. G-O-G, oh, he's the man. That's why. God. I mean, man. Oh. Look, the polar bears ain't going to die unless God tells them to die. Alaska's not going to melt away, Mindy, and flood America unless God does that. God is in control of everything. God's in control of every tree that bends, every bird that chirps, every animal that walks, every star that blinks, every human that breathes. God is in control of all of that. His design is too vast. It is harder to not believe in God than it is to believe in God. It's harder not to. I mean, look in the mirror at creation. Look at yourself and how everything works. All the blood vessels running through your body, miles and miles of blood vessels are inside your body. It is amazing the design God made. It's like I say, we believe in Bigfoot more than we believe in God. Abominable snowman, more than we believe in God. Santa Claus, more than we believe in God. Man. One more verse I want to read, or maybe two more. Romans 10:10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The Word of God is saying, believe in this truth. And you shall be saved. I don't have to walk the shores of Galilee to know my God exists. I have heard the voice of God, not like Moses did, but But I have heard the voice of God. I have felt His presence in my life. I have heard Him whisper things into my spirit. I have seen His hand upon my life. I'm a testament to what Larry talking about God, he should have been dead years ago. Our son has had many life-threatening encounters that could have been disastrous because he's a risk-taker. And he would skateboard off this church if somebody was watching him. All you have to say is, hey, can you do that? Yeah. He's been in a motorcycle wreck, got hit, person going 45 miles an hour, hit him on a motorcycle, went, sent him flying across the road. He walked away with just a couple of bruises. He got in a car wreck in Nebraska in a blizzard on the interstate, I-80 out there. He lost his bearings, a blizzard so bad he lost his bearings. He stopped in the middle of the interstate, transfer truck ran into the back of him. Walked away, a couple of bruises. He fell off a cliff in Virginia and had to get a few stitches in his hand, but that's all it was. There has been time after time. He rolled over in a Jeep up in Love Valley with a couple of friends, rolled over, got kind of pinned in for a little bit, walked away from that. He's a walking disaster is what he is. Just saying. And the boy ain't got no insurance. I said, man, you need to take care of yourself. So I've seen the hand of God. I've seen it on my wife when she was pregnant with Christian. And she T-boned a van in my Firebird going 45 miles an hour. Crushed my Firebird from the, you know how long those hoods are, from the tip of the hood all the way to the windshield. And she was pregnant with Christian, walked out of the car unscathed. Even one of the medical people says, you're a walking miracle. She was another wreck downtown. Wasn't quite as severe, but a few years ago, another wreck downtown. Walked away. Everything okay. I've seen the hand of God upon my family's life. And upon my life. And it is harder not to believe there's a creator than there is to believe there's a creator. It just doesn't make sense. You know, Larry talking about, you know, you can't see God. We can't see the air we breathe. Can't see air. I bet Larry may argue that, but Larry, air, it does exist. But it's there. We know that there is a mix of nitrogen, oxygen in this atmosphere that causes us to have life. We can't see the wind. You can't see wind. You feel wind, and you see the effects of wind. Well, you know what? I feel God, and I surely see the effects of my God. I can see what He has done, what He has planted, from the mountains to the seas, to the oceans, to the deserts, to the jungles, to the rainforest, to the sky, to the ground, to everything that we touch, everything we see. The Bible says that nothing was created that was not created by Him. We have now learned that there is more solar systems, of course, than ours. And we learned there are many galaxies. They say millions of galaxies. We have learned that space is endless. That no matter how far you travel, you never get to the end of it. It's pretty incredible. I think God was showing off a little bit, don't you think? I'm going to make space so big they'll never be able to get across it. I'll make the ocean so deep they can't find the bottom of it. I'll make desert so hot that only a cactus will grow in it. I'll make Vietnam so rainy you don't see the sun for 6 months. God created all of this. And did you realize there are still new species being discovered all the time? New animals, new species, new plant life that they're finding, that's appearing. It's not appearing by accident. Okay? It's not an anteater crossing the raccoon to create a ant-coon. God is creating these things. Do you know how many insects there are in the world? I'll tell you, a bunch. They are the largest, I learned this in Disney World through Bug's Life. They are the largest sector of population of anything on the earth is insects. Larger than humans, larger than mammals, larger than sea creatures, or whatever you want to call those. Larger than reptiles. Insects. If all of a sudden every insect got as big as us, man, We would see how many insects there really are. Man, we got the ladybug, right? And the grasshopper, and the praying mantis, and the old cockroach, and the bumblebee, and the yellow jacket, and the black hornet, and the sweat bee. We got all of this creation. We got the butterfly. We got the woolly worm and the nasty looking worm. And we got hundreds of species of snakes, all different colors and stripes and polka dotted. Yellow, black, white, and red. They're all the same in his sight, whatever. You know, snakes, they got all that. Just think about everything you see from holding a frog or a little toad. Just go in your yard and see how many things you discover. God created all of this. But we can't receive that until our hearts change to acknowledge that he is the creator of all things. Did I get another verse in there? Or is that it? Okay, I had one. I think I left it out. God can change our hearts today, church. He can change our hearts. Marty, come up here if you will and play a little something. If you this morning want to give all of your heart to all of God today, and maybe you're saved, but there's just things in your heart that's not right, and you want your heart to be clean today. You want your heart to be right and your heart to be pure. That, Lord, put within me a right spirit. My spirit's not right. I'm angry. I'm, you know, jealous. I'm doubtful. Whatever is in your heart that you know is not right with God. And you say, Lord, I'm going to lay it at your feet. Actually, D, come up here. I want you to sing this. Sing that song again. That'd be a good song to sing for this. I'm going to have D sing the song we sung a while ago. You Are Loved by God. He desires your heart today. And we don't have to have all the answers to give our heart to God. We just got to know that he's now got it. That God, you got my heart. And if God is stirring you to give it all up to him, I'm going to open the altar this morning just to come up and talk to him. Because when our heart is changed, our life is changed. Do you remember when you got saved, Mindy? You were 9 years old too. At a church camp. Where was that at? Alaska. God even saves in Alaska. Ain't that great? God can make it all the way to Alaska and move. It's a beautiful thing. The altar is open. She sings this song of God is stirring you. And this is my prayer this morning. And let's pray before she sings. Lord, I pray that you will stir the hearts of your people today. Maybe there's some here that has never really given their heart to you the first time. Maybe there are some that have given their heart to you, but there's just things in their heart that have come through the seasons of life that are not good for their well-being. They're not good for their walk with you. That God, we just need a cleansing this morning. We need our hearts to be purified with your fire again. We're carrying things that are bogging us down. We're carrying things that are making us feel bad about who we are, God, and it's causing problems in our homes and our families. God, you're the purifier of hearts. You're the savior of hearts. So I pray that you stir hearts today as she sings this song, that people will come to this altar, Lord, and give all of themselves by faith to all of you today. In Jesus' name.
Every single lie that I have, and now I'm laying in at your feet. You'll have every failure, God, and you'll have every victory.
Hearts in here today. Touch us with your tender mercies. Touch us with your grace and your mercy. Touch us with your loving kindness that only you can give us. Lord, lift us up out of our weaknesses. Lift us up out of our bondage. Lift us up out of our struggles this morning and set us back on a solid rock. Set us back on the mountain, Lord, where our vision is clear and our weight is light. Set us back up to where we stand tall and strong in the power of your glory, in the power of your presence. Clothe us, O Lord, with your majesty and with your glory. Let us walk out of here with our chains off our lives. Let us walk out of here in freedom, in victory, in joy, and in peace, knowing our Redeemer does live, and you are setting us free today from the captivity of our fears, of our doubts, of our issues, of our battles. And we claim that victory in the name of Jesus. And the church said, Amen.